You're not going to learn anything via Ian. So you work hard to understand whatever the sugya is. You ask a lot of kashas. You try to make sense of things. You try to see how you put the pieces together. And certainly, any lamdan worth his salt, you're trying to understand the masechta, you're trying to understand the sugya. One of your key concerns is to define your terms properly, to know, to understand the concepts and to be able to define your concepts clearly. You start any serious course of study, you're going to open by defining your terms, define your scope of study. So in our first two vadim, the bulk of Ramchal's Hakdamah to Mesilas Yesharim, he was putting forward the assertion vigorously that this sefer is necessary, that this vad is necessary, that Avodas Hashem requires as much work as anything else, and that Avodas Hashem is as intellectually deep and sophisticated as anything else. Hein Yiras Hashem Hi Chachma. This is the ultimate Chachma. So if you want to succeed, you want to be able to do it, we're first going to have to learn, understand what it is, and we're also going to have to learn the abstract and the practical application of figuring out how to absorb this. But before you even start talking about methods and techniques and how am I going to achieve this goal and how am I going to circle around the pitfalls to that goal, the first step is going to be to understand what it is. What is Avodas Hashem? So if by this point he's convinced us that Avodas Hashem is a worthy study, the Avodas Hashem algae, the Yira algae is something that's going to require a PhD, so we're going to get to work right now. And he opens, we left off last time, at this juncture. If you're looking for a place inside, it's around two-thirds of the way through the Hakdama, maybe more than two-thirds of the way through the Hakdama, where he's quoted, you can look for a citation for Devarim Perek Yud. Because he points out that if you want to know what is Avodas Hashem, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to us? We saw at the end of the last Vav. He says it's one of the few direct questions in Chumash. One of the few direct questions in Chumash. Moshe Mokecha Shalom Meimach. In Parashat Zekev, what does Baruch Hashem want of the Jewish people? There it is. Moshe Meimach says to the Jewish people, and he gives an answer. And last time we saw, he gives a Ramchal points out, it's a five-part answer. Kiyim liyira, to have Yiras Hashem, to go in Hashem's ways, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avas Hashem. La'avda b'chol avavchem v'chol nafshchem, to do your avoda wholeheartedly, with whole heart, with full heart, and finally to keep all the mitzvahs. And we closed last time by noting that of the five terms, the last one, we more or less know what it means, keeping all the mitzvahs. And that in the manuscript version of Mesilas Yesharim, he highlights the fact that I just went ice cream shopping earlier this evening, Baruch Hashem, new flavor. So there's now Cinnabon flavored ice cream that Breyers makes. Very exciting. So some very excited people. So now you don't have to choose between Carvel and Cinnabon. You can have Efshel Kaim Shneim. So if someone asks you, and perhaps we gave a long lines of this mashal last time, someone asks you what are your favorite desserts, and you say it's Cinnabon ice cream, obviously, and Rocky Road, and cookies and cream, and ice cream. That's obviously absurd because ice cream includes everything. But that's what's going on here. That's what Ramchal points out without the ice cream reference. In the manuscript edition of Mesilas Yesharim, he said, Yira and Halicha Bedrachav, Ava, Shlemus Halev, and keeping mitzvahs. But Yira is also a mitzvah, and Ava is also a mitzvah. It's like saying Cinnabon ice cream and Rocky Road ice cream and ice cream. And his teretz, and we're going to launch from this teretz into what we're going to focus on tonight. His teretz was clearly Shmiras Kol Mitzvah doesn't mean all the mitzvahs. It means all the mitzvahs masios. It's all what the Rabbeinu Bachim Pakuda refers to as the chovas ha'ivarim, the chiyuvim of our limbs, the physical, behavioral do's and don'ts. Rabbeinu Bachai wrote 1,000 years ago in a sefer entitled Chovas HaLevavos. He opens by making that distinction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chiyuvim for us on our outside, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chiyuvim for us on our inside. There are chiyuvim of our hands and feet, the chovas ha'ivarim, that's most of the mitzvahs. And then there are the chovas ha'levavos, the chiyuvim of the mind and the heart. That has to do with how we feel and how we think about our attitudes. And there are the chiyuvim there as well. And that's a distinction that the Chovas HaLevavos drew 1,000 years ago. And what we left off with last time is that the Ramchal, 300 years ago, pointed out that Moshe Rabbeinu organized all of Torah in a way that all the Chovas HaYivarim are in one element, and he unpacked the Chovas HaLevavos in four elements. Now, in this list, the five elements of Avodas Hashem, the way it's organized, 20% is Chovas HaYivarim, 20% is Chitzonius, and 80% is Pnimius. The pasuk is crafted to highlight as important as Chovas HaYivarim are, and they are even more important than we think they are. Don't think for a moment the Chovas HaLevavos are less important than the Chovas HaYivarim. If anything, perhaps even more so. Rachmana Liba Bai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses in this way. Shmiras Kol HaMitzvos is one element, and four elements of the list are the different Chovas HaLevavos. And that's really where we're focused right now. The Mesil Sisharim, Avodas Hashem Ology, is the study of the Chovas HaLevavos. Is the study and how they're going to express themselves in terms of action as well. So let's turn our attention to defining these things. So again, so the Shmiras Kol HaMitzvos, element number five, that we understand what it is. But what are the other ones? What do you mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Write him a note? Give him a birthday present? What? Does the HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a nice tie? It's Jews, cufflinks? What do you mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We talk about it every single day in Shema. What on earth does it mean? Again, going back to open line of Seals of Sharm, the things that we come across most often are often the things that we take most for granted. What does it mean to love Hashem? The Haftu Shalom Kecha. We say it. What do we mean? So let's start from the beginning. The first item. We'll get back. Ava is item number three, and I'll share with you a mashal, an important story. Mashkiach and the fish, but let's go step by step. What's Yira? Because the first element is Yira. Yira, Halicha Bedrachav, Ava, Shleimus Halev. What does it mean to have Yira for Ribono Shel Olam? We talk about Yira Hashem also plenty. And yet it doesn't look like any of you are trembling. The people I can see on Zoom, you look pretty calm there. Right? No one's shaking in their seats. What do you mean? That mitzvah number one, Yira Hashem, should be theophobic. You should be scared of God. Why aren't you scared of God? No, we ask ourselves this question. If we take our Judaism seriously, so what does it mean? The Ramchal says we need to define our terms well. That's going to be an ongoing theme throughout the sefer. You already told us. You think frumkeit isn't what you think it is, right? Not like the mischastim ha-tipshim thing. It says, talking about the basic elements of Hashem, we need to define things. Throughout the sefer, we're going to be spending plenty of time, as those involved in Ian ought to, on correct, clear definition of our terms, correct, clear definition of our concepts. So what's Yiras Hashem? So he starts by, if you just get to the first few words, it sounds a little bit circular. You got to keep going. He says, Hayira, he Yiras Rav Musa Yizbarach. Yira is Yira. That doesn't sound so helpful. And Ramchal often has this style. His first go around on a definition, he repeats it, but adds it a little bit. Yira is Yira. It doesn't say Yira is Yira. That's obvious. Whatever that means. It says Yira is Yiras Haromos. Yira of God's highness, literally. Yira of God's greatness. Let's figure out what that means. Let's see what he says, and then we'll bring in some more to try to understand. Sheyira milafanav. I have Yira in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kimi sheyira milifnei mel gadol v'nora. Like someone who has Yira in the presence of a great king. So, still not sure what that means. I mean, if I was in the presence of a great king, I would probably be frightened. He could, a word from him and it's off of my head. So, what's he driving at? But look at the very next word. Mamash, the next word, is the oddest word to have in this context. It's the next word. Yevosh, to be embarrassed. Embarrassed. Like if I'm imagining in my head, like this is like frightening encounter. I'm in front of I'm in front of the monarch of some country, and my life is in his hands. So that's frightening. I'm embarrassed. It's an odd word. I don't expect to hear that one. Scared. I'm apprehensive. I'm not sure what's coming next. I might be standing very straight. I'm embarrassed. That's funny. That's what Ramchal saying. Yevosh migidula soa kol tenua shubos na'ya. That there's a sense of embarrassment because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness in every move that I come to make. And certainly, kol shkein b'dabra l'fanav b'tfila b'aska b'tarasa. Anything I'm going to do, it's going to impact. And certainly, if I'm speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tefila is speaking to Ribbono Shel Olam, or I'm learning Hashem's Torah. He's speaking to me. Certainly, it's going to be even greater dose of this yira. So that's also sort of odd. There's more fear. Okay, if I'm talking to Hashem, okay. But if I'm learning his Torah, why do I have more fear? Like a missing piece. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. Like looking at a lot of pieces here. Look at that pizza. How do you put all the pieces together? The yira is the pachad of the king, but then there's like the busha that doesn't really fit. And then why is there more yira when I'm learning Hashem's Torah? Well, why is that scary? Maybe if I'm talking to him, I'm speaking to him, I'm being misbahal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe that's scarier. But I'm learning his Torah. What's the problem? The truth is, if we're trying to make sense of this jigsaw puzzle. So maybe the first thing to notice is that first go-around in definitions actually was pretty important. First it looked like saying, well, yira is yira. I'm like, well, that doesn't help me. So yira is haronus. It's the yira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. Literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's highness. Ram v'nisa. The yira of the Hashem is very high. What does that mean? So other svarim speak about the two different types of yira. The yira is haronus, yira is haonish. A pretty classic differentiation. Yira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness versus Yira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Onesh. So if I don't do an Achet, if I choose not to do an Aveira because I realize it could be a price to pay, I'm not interested in Gehenim. I'm not interested in Onesh. So I make a cost-benefit analysis and I say, there's transient pleasure in this Achet, but I'm going to get to Gehenim, I'm going to get to Olam Haba, I'm not going to be happy. So that could be an effective way sometimes of getting myself to do the right thing. Sometimes that could be an effective incentive for self-control, but that's not this. That is being scared. That is being scared. It maybe has its place. That's what we call Yiras Ha'onish. The very first thing Ramchal says, I'm not talking about Yiras Ha'onish. I'm talking about Yira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's highness, Yira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, meaning the following. And you'll find this also, it's not only front and center to begin with Seil Sisharim, this is on the first page of Shulchan Aruch, the opening Ramon, all of Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim Simonov. This is the opening topic. What's Yiras Hashem? He quotes actually one of the few times the Ramon quotes in his comments on Shulchan Aruch from the Rambam's Moreh HaNevuchim. The Ramon was very familiar with Moreh HaNevuchim. Ramon wrote, in addition to his halachic works, he also wrote on Kabbalah and on philosophy. Taras HaOla, Taras HaAsham, in addition to his Torah, Sachatas, and Halachas. He was very familiar with Rambam's Moreh, but he doesn't often quote him in a halachic context. But when he's talking about Yiras Hashem on page 1 of Shulchan Aruch, he does. And that appears to be what the Ramchal, like the Rambam, doesn't usually quote his sources in Rishonim. He'll quote Gemaras, he'll quote Midrashim, but then he'll quote Rishonim without citing, telling you who he's quoting. But I believe he is quoting the Rambam, he's quoting the Ramah, that... Yeah, maybe there's a place for being scared. Yiras Ha'onish, that's a lower level type of year. Yeah, it's not worth it. I'm gonna pay the price later. But Yiras Haromas is something very different, and Busha fits because think for a moment about a great Talmud Chacham, Gadol Hadar. Imagine he walked into the room right now. I still remember many, many, many years ago. I invited Rabbi Meir Tversky Shlita to come to my shiur in yeshiva. And he was talking about Yiras Hashem. And if you've ever had the chance to meet Rabbi Tversky, you know that he's a person of great presence and a person of great humility. So he says, so imagine, with the glowing eyes, imagine if Rav Schechter were to walk into the room right now. We would feel so different. Of course. I'm sorry for the brief intermission for technical repairs. So what Yira means, what the Ramchal is saying here, the Ramah,
the Rambam, Yiras HaRom was, it doesn't mean to be scared. Like Rabbi Chorsky was saying, Yira means Gadol Hadar walks in, I act so differently. But I'm not scared. He's not going to hurt me. I don't mind meeting him in a dark alley. There's no pachad involved at all. But there's presence. And I'm different because I'm in the presence of greatness. It's not scared.
Perfect.
Now, let's illustrate this a little bit. This maybe worked better before Corona, and this is a reminder of Mirtz Shem when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rolled this back. So the following will become part of our normal repertoire. Mirtz Shem will soon relearn how to dance, we'll relearn how to shake hands, and relearn discourse distances. This is something that psychologists who study human interaction, and we'll point out, here's an example of something that any well-adapted person does automatically, hundreds of times a day, without ever thinking about it, unless you're self-aware of it. And that is that psychologists who study discourse style have noticed that typically people have, you naturally learn to stand at a particular distance from someone with whom you're speaking, depending on the nature of your relationship. I think they're usually, at least in Western culture, there are four different discourse distances. Right? When someone very close, it'll be like this, and someone sort of friendly with it, be a little further, and someone's just a formal relationship. And someone comes over to you in the street to ask you for directions. If they're a few feet away, again, pre-COVID, they're a few feet away, that feels comfortable and safe, and it's normal, and you tell them how to go. But if they get like in your face, it's like something's off. We do this intuitively, hundreds of times a day, without even realizing. We just, if you're well adapted, you naturally pick the right distance at which to stand to someone when you speak to them, based on what your relationship is. And we're constantly calculating that. It's an example of how, without even noticing, without even being conscious of it, we're constantly aware of in whose presence are we? With whom are we interacting? Who's here? And again, I could be having the same conversation, nothing inappropriate, but the Gadol Hador walks in, all of a sudden, I'm just different. I'm not scared of him, I'm just different. Right? The sorts of things when Zochet have a grandparent, you're different around your grandparent. It's not, right? Or if we remember having grandparents, it's different. I didn't do anything, I wasn't doing anything wrong otherwise. I certainly wasn't, not afraid, I hope. Normal to healthy situations. I'm not afraid of what my grandparent will do to me. There's no pachad, but that's mora. That's not yiras ha'onesh, it's yiras haronos. It's an awareness of presence. You're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why the word busha is appropriate. If by mora we meant fright, fear, phobia, pachad, there's no busha there. But it's not. I think Rav Blachman likes to define this as God consciousness. You're aware of the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life. Any mamon, any religious person, if you ask, do you believe that God exists? Yes. Do you believe God is present? Yes. Of course I believe, and I'm not lying. If you ask me, I'll say it, and I do believe it. But the difference between believing in your head that God is there and feeling your kishkas that your bone shalom is here. And that second version, the feeling in your kishkas, Ribbono Shel Olam is here, that's Yiras Hashem. That's Yiras Haronos. It's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reality in my life. That's Yiras Hashem. It has nothing to do with being scared. I mean, it may sometimes make me scared. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reality in my life, I should be scared if I'm doing something wrong. But that's one little detail of it. It's awe. It's presence. It's God consciousness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a reality in my life. That's powerful stuff. And that's very real. And that's a concept that we can wrap our minds around.
Is Yiras HaOnesh a lower level? Or are you saying Yiras HaOnesh is not Yira? Yiras HaOnesh is a lower level. Yiras HaRomos is a higher level. Is that what you're saying?
It's a good question. So the Svarim describe both of these. They use the term Yira for both. And the Svarim often talk about Yiras HaOnesh as a lower level. Yiras HaRomos is a higher level. Both of them can be, in terms of, You wonder how they even, the two levels are the same thing. It's a good question. How they even the same thing at all. They can both be, you can use the word yira for both. And maybe more than that is they're both motivator. They could both be the basis for fealty to halacha. Like we talk about someone being yari shamayim. Often we say yari shamayim means he's medaktik b'halacha. He keeps halacha, not just sort of in loose terms. He's really careful about halacha. And so as we proceed, we're going to see yira and zahiris b'mitzvahs, they were obviously related. And that's the same thing. We often say he's yari shamayim, he's medaktik b'halacha. So what could drive diktuk b'halacha? So in that sense, yira sa'onish could drive diktuk b'halacha. I keep the din because I'm afraid of the consequences of not. Or I keep the din because HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me. If I live in the presence of Rosh Hashanah, so I'm going to keep his word. Not because he's going to come get me, but because he's here and this was, these are his expectations. So there are a lot of parallels, but it's a more, Yiras HaOnesh is much more primitive.
The Ramchal is seems to be defining it as Yiras HaOnesh. I was just wondering if he would exclude Yiras HaOnesh. Is he saying Yiras HaOnesh that's not Yira?
That's interesting. Right. In terms of the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, which is the mitzvah for the Rambam, it's mitzvah number four. That's a good question. Is Yiras, are you Mekayim Yiras, the mitzvah Yiras Hashem with Yiras HaOnesh? I don't know. Here it sounds like not. Yira is Yiras HaOnesh. Right? That was his first. And now we appreciate that the significance of that first line. At first it seemed, 10-15 minutes ago, it seemed like it was just circular. But it's not circular. It's actually, it's a first step towards defining. And Mirchav, I believe in Perek Dalet, he's going to come back to this difference more. And so I was thinking about how, and he actually taught different madrigas of people's spiritual sophistication. So some people are going to get the Yiras HaOnesh, but they wouldn't really get the Yiras HaOnesh. So other people are more spiritually sophisticated. Their thinking can appreciate the Yiras HaOnesh. And so break into three levels. So B'lin Ender, Be'ezras HaShem, we'll get to Perek Dalet. We'll see more. So that's mitzvah number one, or I should say element number one, or the five elements of Eos Hashem. And then it sounds like it ought to be pretty foundational, the reality about Kodesh Baruch Hu in my life. And we're going to see next time, in Mitzvah Hashem, the next two elements two and three, Halicha Bedrachav and Ahava, are both, I believe, built off of this. Both of them are going to have to do with different ways of relating to Hashem. Going Hashem's ways, literally, I have to figure out what that means. Doesn't mean, you know, taking the tunnel versus the bridge. Doesn't mean taking the parkway versus the turnpike. What does it mean to go in Hashem's way? That terminology appears not in Akin. It appears seven times in the course of Chumash Dvarim. Alechaz b'chal drachav, alech b'drachav. We're going to work and figure out what that means. And Ahava, we're going to have to figure out what does it mean to love Hashem. But both those we're going to see are different ways of relating to Hashem. So I think they're built on element number one. The first is HaKadosh Baruch has to be a reality in my life. Once HaKadosh Baruch is a reality in my life, then we can talk about what type of relation do I have. I have a relationship of Halicha Bedrachav, I have a relationship of Ahava. So we'll build on this next time. Yashikar, thank you for your patience and thank you for the participation. Mr. Shem, we should continue to learn and continue to grow. Thank you so much.
Main, thank you.
All right, Rabbi.